Doug.
Thank you, Carol. Well, God bless each and every one of you. Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to share a little bit tonight about giving and receiving. There are certain laws that God set up from the very beginning that are for mankind's benefit. And those laws work, those laws don't change, and as a result, we call them immutable laws, or laws that don't change. And one of the great ones in the Bible is the law of giving and receiving. In Philippians chapter 4, it says in verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." And in this particular context, which we looked at in our last fellowship, there's tremendous benefit that came to the Philippians as a result of them operating the law of giving and receiving. Now, in this particular context, it's very clear that the communication that they had with Paul concerning giving and receiving was financial. And Paul encouraged them to be very giving. But remember that the law is not just about giving, it's also about receiving. So when people operate the law of giving and receiving, they should expect to receive back. And the reason they can expect to receive back is because God blesses it back. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly." So here giving is referred to as sowing, like sowing seed. And the receiving part of it is referred to as reaping, like reaping a crop, a harvest. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Certainly, we want to be in the second part of that verse, don't we? We want to sow bountifully. You know, it's been said that you can't outgive God. And then it goes on to give more description of this. It says, "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." You know, the operation of the law of giving and receiving is not to be legalistic. It's not to be grudgingly. It's not to be something that you have to do, but out of a cheerful or a hilarious heart. Verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Now, what makes the law of giving and receiving so fantastic is what God is able to do. We sing a song sometimes in our fellowships that God can do what no other power can do. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. You know, from a census point of view, if you give something away, you have less of it. You're more impoverished. But from the Word of God's perspective, when you operate according to God's will, God multiplies it back unto you. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Inherent in God's law of giving and receiving is abundance. Verse 9, "As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see the abundance in that? God is the one that originally ministers seed to the sower, and then he is the one that gives you bread for your food. He multiplies your seed sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So certainly the operation of the law of giving and receiving is something that every believer should relish. It's something that we all should practice with faithfulness and with expectation of bountifulness, of fruitfulness. God is able to multiply the seed sown to and back to your abundance. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Now, oftentimes we think of giving and receiving within the context that I just mentioned, of finance. That which we read about in Philippians, that was the context. Certainly 2 Corinthians 9, the context was financial giving and receiving. But giving and receiving is much bigger than just pertaining to our finances. There's a reference here in Proverbs chapter 11. I hope I have the right verse here. Where is that? Oh, there it is, verse 25. I have it written down as verse 15, but it's verse 25. Look at verse 25. It says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, that verse, in our current use in English, does have the potential for misunderstanding, doesn't it? The liberal soul shall be made fat, because when you think of somebody being liberal, it could have political overtones, it could have certain other insinuations, but this is talking about liberality in giving. The liberal soul, it's not talking about liberal versus conservative or any of that junk, Republican, Democrat, but the liberal soul shall be made fat. And again, you know, most of us don't want to be fat physically, but fat is it's talking, it's another word here for abundance, for prospering, for bountifulness. And here, it's not confined its application just to finances. This applies to other aspects of life. When you're liberal in giving, whatever it is that you might be giving that's good, it says, you shall be made fat, you shall be made prosperous. And then this verse goes on to say, and he that waters shall be watered also himself. You will receive back. When you give, you'll receive back. That's the law. There's a wonderful verse in Proverbs 18. This is a verse that many years ago, as we were raising our children, that I remember teaching to them, because part of growing up is you start developing relationships with other people. You might go to school, or you have other, you know, play on sports teams. And that can cause consternation for young people, for children as they're growing up. You know, how do I fit in? You know, will people like me? All of that stuff. Well, look at verse 24 of Proverbs 18. It says, a man that hath friends must show himself, what? Friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But isn't that wonderful? That's an application of the law of giving and receiving. If you want to receive friends, you have to be or give friendliness. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Really kind of, you know, this applies in a wonderful way to most every category of life, that what you're giving out, you get back. Now, there's a counterfeit of this principle. And the counterfeit of this principle comes from some Eastern religions, Hinduism, Buddhism. And the counterfeit is karma. Karma has increasingly become a word that people use in the English language, that people think is truth. It's used in a variety of ways. I'm being a sports fan, it comes up a lot in the category of sports. But really, I looked it up. The word karma in the Sanskrit just simply means work or a deed. That's what the word karma means in the Sanskrit language. So in other words, what the idea of karma is that what you do, your deed, or what you work, your works, that it's going to come back to you. There's some truth in that, as we've been seeing, and there's a lot more in the Bible that substantiates that truth. But it's tied in the Eastern religions to rebirth, primarily to reincarnation. And that it's their attempt to try to explain why some people are born poor and nasty circumstances, other people are born rich or in great circumstances, that it's something they did in a past life. Now, that's crap. That has nothing to do with it. There's certain aspects of what the world teaches that can have elements of truth in them. What people work at, what people do, does affect results. But it certainly has nothing to do with reincarnation or rebirth like those counterfeit religions teach. There's a lot of varied things that also tie into the principle of giving and receiving. And most prominently, how about concerning the Word of God? If you read the parable of the sower and the seed, the sower is giving the Word of God. And that Word of God is being planted, kind of like we read about finances being a seed sown. But it then depends on how the Word of God is received. We're to receive with meekness the engrafted word, like James says. We're to retain the word of God with conviction. And then we're to give the word of God, or we're to release the word of God with boldness. Receive, retain, release. It's the principle of learning the word of God. It's the principle of learning in other categories of life, that you have to receive information properly, that you have to retain it, make it your own, and then release it, really give it so that you can grow. Receive, retain, release. It's characterized by the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus Christ once reproved his disciples, saying, hey, if you don't understand this parable, referring to the parable of the sower and the seed, how are you going to understand any other parable? Because really, how you receive the word of God, being that good ground that retains the word, that releases the word with boldness, that determines how much fruit the word of God's going to bring in your life. You might remember the reference to the Dead Sea in the Bible lands, that the reason that the sea was so dead was not because it didn't receive fresh water, but there was no outlet for the water. We have to be diligent to receive, retain, and release God's word. And then as we do, we can grow. I looked this up earlier today. We talked and saw that God is able to multiply your seed sown, and that's something that only God can do. That God can increase the fruits of your righteousness. I looked something up. When Carol and I first moved to California, the population of the state of California was about 13 million people. Now it's about 39 million. That's an increase in 40 years, or a little over 40 years, three times. And then I looked up the world population during that same period of time. During that same period of time, the world basically tripled, similar to California, in population, because in 1980, the world's population was about 2.4 billion people, and now it's about 7.7 billion people. You know, there has never in the history of man, worldwide, been as high a standard of living as there is now on Earth. Very interesting to me, because people think that population control is absolutely necessary to the survival of the planet. You know what they do when they think that? They're leaving out the most important one in the whole transaction, God. Can God supply your every need? He sure can and does. And if God can do that for you, he can do it for every person on this earth. And he is doing it. There's a great lie that's being propounded. It's being taught in universities. It's being embraced by many, many people. And that's that we're running out of everything. We're running out of fresh air. We're running out of clean water. We're running out of oil. We're running out of food. You know, that everybody is more and more impoverished. It's a lie. It's not true. Because God, only God, is the one who is able to multiply resources. You know, 120 years ago, people didn't value crude oil very much because they didn't know yet what it could do to power an automobile. The automobiles weren't around. Now it's kind of the lifeblood of many economies. If God has resources that 120 years ago weren't appreciated, do you think he still has some resources that we have yet to discover or understand? You know, this is being taught, and people can major in it now. It's being taught as so-called science in the category of sustainability, you know, whether something's sustainable or not. And so what they do in this is they kind of add up, well, we have, you know, we think this many gallons of gasoline left or of oil, or barrels of oil left. And if we use it at this rate, we're going to run out by, you know, 2120 or something. So we got to quit using oil and try to do it on wind power or whatever. The whole thing is just becomes really contrary to the truth of God's word and also to just simple sense knowledge facts of God prospering the world. There is a higher level of income of resources now than there's ever been, and by God's mercy and grace it will continue as long as the church is here upon earth. So don't get tricked by some of these things that have a certain element of truth in them but leave God out. You know, karma is like that. This idea of sustainability and the environment is like that. God is able to do what no other power can do, and he multiplies the seed sown. Look back at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. See, when people operate with God, God multiplies those seeds that human beings sow back to the benefit of mankind. And he does it in many, many different categories of life. Perhaps as famous a verse of scripture as there is in the whole Word of God, we'll conclude with tonight in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave." You know, this and other places in the Bible defines one part of the love of God as the love of God is giving. And the one who applied it to the greatest extent is God himself, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the greatest thing that he could possibly give. You know, in 1 Corinthians, it tells us that the love of God seeketh not her own. Another translation of that could be, the love of God is not selfish. You know, when people are selfish, they're not liberal. They're not giving. They try to hoard things to themselves, selfishness. But the love of God is not selfish. The love of God seeketh not her own. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in this act of God so loving the world, in this act of Jesus Christ so loving all of us, that he gave his life for us, look at the fruit that has come out of it. Because by God sowing that seed of the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, has redounded unto his glory, because he now has begotten many, many, many sons since Pentecost. If you talk about the ultimate practice of giving and receiving, God gave his Son for all of us so that now we belong to him. Wow. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and kindness to us. Father, for having established this great law of giving and receiving, that we can take your words, Father, and act upon them and be liberal, giving, friendly souls in every category of life, whether it be our finances or our relationships, or most prominently, Father, in the giving of your word. And that as a result, you continue to multiply those seeds sown back to our blessing. And Father, for the bountifulness and fruitfulness of the church and of all of your people. So Father, we love you and are thankful for this night of fellowship in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Love you.
Adios.